See, here's the thing, sir, and I hope you get to this in a minute. I really hope you do, because if you don't, I'm going to be disappointed in you. But here's the thing, gentlemen. Even if you do everything he's saying, which he's basically telling you, you got to pitch a shutout, which is nothing new to anybody who's consumed content on this side of the internet before. But when we get to this idea of overcoming adversity, see, this is adversity right here. You are now basically in a pseudo war with this person who you're supposed to be working together with. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to discuss overcoming adversity. And we're going to ask the question, are women and wealth enough to motivate men today? Because let's make no mistake about it. Right out the gate, let's be totally frank. Let's be totally honest. A lot of men use the accumulation of resources, wealth, status, money, and getting proper the mates that they want, getting the physical intimacy that they want, as motivation to achieve, motivations to get out of bed in the morning and to work harder, go the extra mile, and to achieve in this life. Now, should you want to do it for yourself? Duh and or hello, yes, you should. However, a lot of men, they have something that they want in their life. Because let's be honest, how many of us would overcome adversity in our lives if we didn't have to? If we could just kind of sit back and be like, you know what, you know, I could work harder, but there's not really an incentive for me to do it. There's this old metaphor of the carrot and the stick. When it comes to the carrot and the stick, they work best in unison because you want to avoid the punishment and you also want to gain the reward. When there's no reward, the punishment can only go so far. And when there's no punishment, the reward can only go so far. And so when we talk about today, we talk about the young man or even the middle-aged man in America today, and we discuss why a lot of men are quiet quitting, they're stepping out, they're going their own way and whatnot, which is not inherently bad, by the way. Some people are going their own way and they're still doing extremely well and being extremely successful. But there are a quieter subsection of younger men, especially, who are saying, why in the world would I work really hard to give a lot of it to the government? Why would I work so hard when I can achieve all these things and people are going to tell me what to do with my money? They're going to sit there and not help me when I'm down bad, and then when I start to win, all of a sudden, I'm expected to be the good guy. I'm expected to be moral. I'm expected to give my money away and invest in other people. I'm expected to get a wife. I'm expected to give my wealth to the poor. I'm expected to do all these things, but they weren't helping me when I was in the gym. They weren't helping me when I was building my business or I was putting in long hours. But then people want to dictate to you what you do with the winnings that you receive as a the sowing and reaping process, it starts to come full circle. And this is why a lot of men are saying, you know what? Why would I compete at this super high level, work extremely long hours, to support people who are not going to care about me, to support a system who's disenfranchising me, and all for what? Why would I struggle when I stand to gain very little, if anything at all, and anything I do gain can be taken away from me in full or in half? See, these are the questions that people are asking, and I think it's a very important conversation and one that we're going to have today on the show. So before I get into talking about the clips we're going to show on the show, before I get talking about anecdotal evidence and whatnot, feel free to share your comments throughout the show. I'd love to hear them. I'm sure a lot of other men would love to hear your perspective as well. You know, one thing I've noticed being a podcaster for over a year, even though my audience isn't super big, one thing I have noticed is that we as human beings, we're social creatures, but we're also very expressive. People naturally have opinions, they have feelings, and they have perspectives they wish to communicate and share and to get off your chest. I mean, has anybody ever gone on a run uphill with like one of those backpacks full of weights on your back, and when you get to the top and you take it off, you feel lighter, you're like, oh, wow, this feels great. You ever had that before? I know I have. That's what sharing your feelings and your opinions and everything is like, whether it's on the internet or in person or anything else. And so if you feel the way I just described, you're more than welcome to share in this comment section. Sometimes stuff gets blocked by YouTube. Other times it gives me the, I'll give you a little behind the scenes that maybe other content creators won't tell you. When you send something that could be perceived as inappropriate or offensive, it lets me, the creator, decide whether I want to approve that, because content creators are responsible for their comment sections. And so when someone says something that could be inappropriate or could be perceived as offensive, they give me the opportunity to okay it or deny it. And considering I haven't seen anything that's extremely outrageous, it probably means that they immediately get rid of those. The AI bots, the moderators, they immediately get rid of those. But anyways, enough, that's a little peek behind the curtain for you wannabe content creators. But let's go straight into the facts and opinions of the day. And I talked about quiet quitting both in relationships and in society. And this older gentleman right here is going to discuss this very topic. Now, I can guarantee you, I have not seen these clips all through beforehand, but just out the gate, I can guarantee you there's going to be a little bit of a difference between me as a younger guy and him as an older gentleman, and our opinions on this are going to differ. So let me know what you think, and let's get into that, shall we?
Men get to a point in a relationship where they quit. They get to a point where he's running around, doing everything, cleaning the kitchen, taking out the bin, helping with the kids, doing the homework, bathing them, going out to work, but it never seems to be enough, because then she complains about something else. You're not present. You're not here. You're not listening to me. See, women's communication in a relationship is very, very different.
I'm going to ask the gentleman, sorry if you heard that. I'm going to ask the gentleman who are watching this video, who are in a relationship, have been in a relationship, have been in marriage, are in a marriage. How many of you can identify with what this gentleman just said about no matter what you seem to do, no matter how many times you try to do something, go the extra mile, it's never enough. The target seems to be moving. It's like you are the kicker on an NFL team, and when you go to kick the field goal, the goalposts are always moving, they're always rotating, and you can't get a clean. Every time you try to aim and you kick and you kick and you kick, you can't make the field goal, and the whole team's getting mad at you. That's what happens in a lot of relationships today, where no matter how much you try, you are penalized for trying. You might as well have just not tried, because if people are going to complain whether you try or you don't try, what do you think men are going to do? Most men are going to say, you know what, why in the world am I going to try when no matter what I do, whether I try or I don't try, I'm going to get criticized, I'm going to get blamed. A lot of men are going to opt for, hey, why would I even bother? Why is the juice worth the proverbial squeeze? Let's continue. Let's let him continue.
Men think they just have to work hard and do all that stuff, and she should be happy. But The reality is, for a woman, she wants him to understand her feelings.
In other words, you get another job. In other words, on top of the jobs you already have, whether you have your main job and a side hustle, or your job and you're thinking about starting a side hustle, or you have two side hustles, or you also, maybe you have a side hustle and a job and you help out with the kids' sports team, now you have another job, which is to play interpreter to your wife and her feelings. Okay, that's going to be a hard sell to a lot of men, but okay.
She wants to be able to talk her feelings through, and she wants him to be able to focus. And she wants him to be able to understand her feelings, not correct them, not tell her that they're wrong, not go to facts and information when he's listening. Why are you feeling like that? You shouldn't be. That's the worst thing a guy can say.
See, here's the thing, sir, and I hope you get to this in a minute. I really hope you do, because if you don't, I'm going to be disappointed in you. But here's the thing, gentlemen. Even if you do everything he's saying, which he's basically telling you, you gotta pitch a shutout, which is nothing new to anybody who's consumed content on this side of the internet before. But when we get to this idea of overcoming adversity, see, this is adversity right here. You are now basically in a pseudo war with this person who you're supposed to be working together with. Now you have to manage these new issues from the person who's supposed to be helping you, okay? So that's number one. Number two is, even if you jump through all these hoops, you make it through all these trap doors, you avoid the pitfalls, you do all these things, there's no guarantee that it's still gonna work out for you. See, this is the kicker right here. Even if you do all these things he's talking about, you could still end up in a divorce or a sexless marriage or in an unhappy situation. See, this is the problem, is If men got rewarded for doing this, then they would do it. But even if you do all these things, you can still lose. And this is why a lot of men are saying, okay, I could still do all these things you're talking about or really pour my heart into this and I could still lose everything. I can. And this is why a lot of men do. And so this is why a lot of men are not choosing to overcome adversity in relationships. And instead of doing that, they're choosing to better their career and improve their chances with being more of the fun side piece than being the main spouse, because there's just not as much reward in this, and you stand so much more to lose than to gain. The men have no protection in marriage. Zero. They invest the most and have the least protection. And this is, I hope you mention this, because if you don't, you're going to lose a lot of credibility with me and the rest of the audience, I can guarantee you.
Men need to learn to listen, but listen emotionally to what you're really feeling and really talking about.
Oh, please, please, sir, please rally back. Please, for the love of God, mention the other side of the argument. Please don't just keep...
Oh, hell no!
I'm rooting for you. Don't fail me, please.
Because when he does, she feels like, oh, now he knows me. Now he understands me. Plus, it also de-stresses her.
See, but women don't reward this behavior. They just don't. Look at how many good men get divorced, and she goes right back to the ex-boyfriend, right back to Pookie, right back to the streets, those no-good dudes that she bashed on and slept with back in the day. They are now going to get... See, that kind of stuff does not get the girl's vagina wet. It doesn't. This does not make her attracted to you. Does it make her comfortable with you? Yes. Does it make her more attracted to you? No, it doesn't. And this is the issue. The men can do all these things and she still could dry up like the Sahara Desert and you're left going on Only Fools, which is statistically what a lot of married men do.
It allows her to talk and she de-stresses. Her levels of oxytocin increase.
Oh, you're a chemist now.
Decrease. For him, it's the opposite. He wants to go quiet to de-stress. So understanding these differences, guys, will stop you from being frustrated and quitting in the relationship.
No, you see, what will cause men to quit in the relationship is doing everything you just said, and then the woman cheats on him, or leaves him, or divorces him. And this is the problem, where he finds out that his son or his daughter is not his, because paternity fraud is through the roof. See, that's what will destroy him. Men are willing to do this, especially men who lack experience in dating. They're more than happy to do this, but the women don't stick with that man, statistically speaking, because he's boring, he's uninteresting, and he's predictable. And this is why a lot of men are quitting relationships, and they're not choosing to overcome this adversity, because they know that if they were that guy, this would not be the issue. You wouldn't come to him with this BS if you were highly attracted to him, because she'd be upset he might leave. She didn't want to risk the rejection, so she wouldn't bring this garbage to the table if she figured you would have self-respect and not deal with it. Or if you had insurance that you wouldn't bail, and that this payment he's giving, which is payment, this is time, this is attention, this is energy, loss of opportunity of income because you're coming home from work early, or you're not doing work at the house. These are all things that add up, okay? You want to talk about unpaid labor in the relationship? This is unpaid labor in the relationship right here. In fact, you're paying her to give her advice. This is the problem. And a lot of men are waking up to this. So, sir, you're not making a good case here. This is old boomer advice that we as Gen X millennials and even Gen Xers, we're sick of this garbage. Those of us who are awakened to this, we know this is what it is, which is a prescription to a false diagnosis.
So men often quit and are still there. They don't leave, they just quit.
Yeah, in other words, they end up like a lot of married people where they're roommates, they check out, they're dead on the inside.
And then they go and work even harder or get distracted into work, or they get into porn or other addictions like drugs or alcohol.
They become the hollow men that T.S. Eliot wrote about.
And that is a massive problem that we're now facing. in our relationships, but it can change when you understand how to really communicate.
Oh my God!
Sorry, sir, you're just wrong. I'm sorry. You'd be right if we lived in a society that actually supported what you discussed, but this is just unfortunately untrue. And, you know, he was right about certain things, though. He was right about the part where he discusses, oh, you know, men get... they pour themselves into their job. They pour themselves... they don't leave. See, this is the interesting part. When you look at the discrepancies between men and women, when women get unhappy in relationships, they tend to leave. When men get unhappy in a relationship, they tend to kind of stick it out because they have a scarcity mindset. They're afraid that they'll lose the little bit of community and a little bit of intimacy that they're getting. So they stick there. They kind of stay there and they suffer in silence versus when women are unhappy, to their credit, they leave. If men did this more often and they didn't accept subpar behavior, a lot of women's behavior would change. But when we go back to, are women in wealth enough to motivate men? A lot of men are motivated by the pursuit of intimacy and the pursuit of wealth. This is just an unavoidable fact of reality. And this is going to be a segment of an episode of the How to Beast content creator. I've watched a couple of his videos before, so I kind of know who he is. From what I've seen, he's kind of the manosphere adjacent kind of guy. Like, he was totally on some blue pill stuff, but now he's kind of trying to cash in on the giant rise in this space. So from what I've seen, he's kind of trying to kind of like what Greg Doucette does. Shout out to Greg Doucette, fantastic fitness content creator and fantastic bodybuilder. I've watched a lot of his videos. He does a great job, but he's kind of doing the same thing where a lot of these people are kind of bridging into the red pill adjacent stuff. But let's hear what he has to say about relationships on his show.
Focus on yourself as a man. Focus on building your body, your mind, your wealth. When I get to that point and then I meet a girl, it's only because I'm successful is the reason that she's with me.
The problem with both of those things is like they're very much like a dating-centric mindset. I'm just leveling myself up because that's going to get me better women. Well, now because I've leveled up, women are just going to take advantage of me. It's probably healthier to like work on yourself, whether that's your money, your body, like for yourself, because that lives a more fulfilling life.
See, I see what he's saying, and he's not wrong, but the problem is a lot of people, they don't do that, or at least they don't start off that way. I myself, I'll talk about me for a second, I didn't start off by doing these things because I wanted to load better and whatnot. I mean, yeah, sure, that was a reason, but it wasn't the reason. The reason that I started doing it was because I got the suppository like a lot of other men in the space have, and I realized, wait a minute, I'm not liking the results I'm getting in my dating life. I'm not liking the way that I'm being treated in my job. I don't like the way that my life is unfolding. So what do? I decided to make a change. And I said, you know what? I'm going to become the best man that I can be so that I will be not deserving, but I will have earned the respect that I want, whether it's professionally, personally, romantically, and everything in between. I decided I was going to be better and never be in that place ever again. That's what I did. Now, I don't know what you plan to do. I don't know how your life is unfolding. Maybe you, like me, went through a stage of rage. Everybody has that stage. Now, it's okay to, it's one of the stages of grief. The passing away of your old worldview, your old way of seeing things. There's no wrong answer to that. However, you can't stay in that forever because then you're not going to want to overcome adversity. You're going to want to just complain about everything, be unhappy about everything. And that's not going to make you better. That's not going to improve your life. That's not going to make you happier. It's only going to make you more discontent, more agitated, and you're going to be in a cycle of never-ending suffering that's self-inflicted. And we don't want to live in that reality. And so when we talk about overcoming adversity, it's both external and internal. Because as Napoleon Bonaparte said, it is not a competent enemy that one should fear, but an incompetent ally. And a lot of people, you are your own most incompetent ally. Because you're always going to have competent enemies. You're always going to have people who are opposite of you, who get in your way, who interfere with your progress, and who are going to be at the other end of the road than you, and you're going to have to duel with them. Not physically most of the time, but financially, mentally, spiritually, and everything else. So you have to be your own competent ally. Because not only are you going to have to overcome adversity, externally, you're going to have to overcome your own insecurities and your own adversity that's going to come from within. Questioning yourself, counterbalancing yourself, questioning yourself on everything that ever happens to you, doubling back, being unsure. These are all things that are going to cause you to fold before you really ever start the hand in the first place. Okay? So to his point, yes, you should do things for yourself, but it rarely starts out that way. And speaking of hard truths, we're going to jump into, for those of you who have made this transition or you're thinking about it and you want to go into more of the entrepreneur route, which, let's be honest, the word entrepreneur has kind of become the term like influencer. Like, it's so bland, so overused, but there is a overall mental condition that you build by being someone who wants to prop yourself up, carve out your own path, or produce your own path forward. So when we talk about this, you need to have a certain mindset or have certain behavioral patterns present if you want to maximize your growth as a person, as a man, as a Apache helicopter, whatever you choose to be, a cat. I can't believe some people are identifying as a cat in schools today. It's unbelievable. But we're going to go into this video and see five facts as an entrepreneur that will help you. Let's hear what they have to say.
Five facts that are bitter, but you have to accept. One, hide your sadness because no one cares. Two, never get attached to anyone. Remember, even your own shadow leaves you when it's dark.
Ooh.
Three, don't be overly kind, forgiving, and overly helpful. People are ungrateful. You will be abused. Four, if there is no loyalty, don't care about that love. And finally, five, if you want to grow, sit at bigger tables. Spend time with smarter people. Join us to improve yourself every day.
See, that's an interesting process. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? Again, a lot of people are going to say that's very cynical, awesome, that's very cold. Shout out to Steph is cold. This is very, this doesn't make me feel good. Well, good medicine, my friends, as I've said on the show before, good medicine tastes lousy. In the world we live in, everybody wants the shortcut. They want the easy solution that gives them the most results. They want the sugary, sweetened solution that's going to feel good going down, as it will be in your body to fix the issue. My friends, I don't know if you were ever had this experience as a kid, but when I was a kid, I had to take medicine when I got a cold or I got sick or I had growing pains or whatever. And so when I took this medicine, it usually tasted terrible. Terrible! It didn't taste like bubble gum. It didn't taste like Jolly Ranchers. It didn't taste like, I don't know, a fruit roll-up. It tasted lousy. But it got the job done. And eventually I felt better. A lot of people, they don't want that type of medicine because they don't like the way it tastes going down. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about the way the taste is, not whether the medicine's actually going to work. That's what they're not concerned about that, which is exactly what you should be concerned about. Because when we look at society, a lot of people are choosing to not overcome adversity because they're afraid, oh, if it's not going to work out for me, it's not guaranteed, why would I do it? Well, that can be said for so many different things in life, because if you're truly afraid of life, then you're never truly lived. And if you never truly lived, then why are you still alive? I'm not telling you to, you know, take a long walk off a short pier, so to speak. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying that when you realize in the grand scheme of things that nothing really matters, you realize that the things around you in your direct proximity, they matter the most because you can touch them, you can do something with them, and you can somewhat control them. Stop worrying about things you can't care about. I'll tell you something right now. You care about things too much that you can't change. And you know how much energy, attention, time, and the money you're leaving on the table of future gains by stressing about things you can't change, worrying about things you can't affect? These will slow down your productive progress and they will make you unhappy when it doesn't matter whether you're happy or unhappy. It won't change anything about the thing you're stressed about, most likely. Now, if it's something that's directly affecting you, you can change. Different story. But if you can't do anything about it, it's out of your control. You worrying about it, even if you did everything in your power, you wouldn't change it. Then stop worrying about it. Either do something about it or get over it. Those are the two options you have. You either fix it or get over it. Worrying about it That's not going to do anything. Stressing about it, not going to do anything. Wishing it was different, not going to do anything. Nothing. Nothing. It's not going to do a dang thing for you, so why would you do that? But let's get back to this issue of quiet quitting, and let's get back to overcoming adversity. A lot of people are not going into the military because they're convinced that America's not necessarily a good nation, or they're unhappy about it. And so what we're going to do right now is we'll look at this video. And I'm somebody who was in the military, okay? I'm ex-Air Force. Now, when we talk about the disenfranchisement of young men, this is one of the things that I saw even during my time in the military, which was the old guard were still on their way out, and the military was becoming more and more what you might call woke. Let's look at what this woman has to say.
The Army says that it will be 15,000 recruits short of its 65,000 recruit target. The Navy says it will be 10,000 recruits short of its 38,000 recruit target. The Air Force says it will be 3,000 recruits short of its 27,000 recruit target. The Marine Corps is the only one that says we will hit our recruitment target, but it's been a struggle to do so. Now, according to the Pentagon data, only 9% of young people said that they would consider military service as their career. That's down from 13%. That's not even one in 10.
Wow, man. That's pretty substantial, isn't it? See, my friends, this is a multifaceted issue, okay? Number one, most people who want to join the military, they can't because they don't meet the physical requirements. That's number one. Number two, the military is not what it once was. The military was once the place where it was a stepping stone to greater things if you wanted to be in for 4 years or 6 years. And then it's become more and more of a social experiment than an actual security force. And a lot of people are seeing this. Even when I was in the military, I saw with my own eyes, there was a lot of politics and propaganda that was going wild when it came to this recruitment problems. I remember when I was in, which was during COVID, I remember how the military handled a lot of things, forcing the vaccine on people, the stances that a lot of commanders took, the Secretary of the Air Force, what they decided to do, all of these things. When Joe Biden came into office, when Trump went out of office, it was a big change there. My friends, the military was once really respected, and because of the current political climate and because of the overall shift in the society, we're seeing that that's not really an option for a lot of people. And we need to really bring back the incentive in this country. We need to establish and say, okay, what is it that motivates men to achieve? Because no society was built without men supporting it. I know you don't want to believe that. If you're a feminist, you don't like that idea. Well, that's too bad. There's not been a lot of societies that have been matriarchal because in most cases, they don't work. I have yet to see one that works. We can even look at the United States and say that it's going in that direction. And as a result, we're going down the tubes. We, as men, need to identify what motivates us, what motivates you as a person. Forget about the gender. Forget about the gender roles. Forget all that for 2 seconds. What motivates you to get up in the morning? What is it about you that you wake up with motivation, or what would inspire you? If money was not an issue, what would you do? Because once you answer that question, there's a way to monetize everything. The real question is, are you willing to put in the work? Are you willing to risk the failure that comes with the possibility of success? And are you willing to every day encounter adversity and surpass it and not let it knock you down? That's the question. Is it, do you want wealth? Do you want access to women? Do you want respect? Do you want money? What is it you want? Because once you have a goal in mind that you want, that's a starting place and you can work with that. That might change over time, but it's gotta start somewhere, and it starts with you. My friends, you take care of yourselves, think for yourself, do your own research. And if you're religious, this applies to you as well. Do not think that for a second that being poor is a virtue if you're a religious person. I don't believe in that. I don't think that that's true. I've met a lot of poor people who are the most miserable people I've met in my life. And conversely, I've met people who are rich who are some of the most productive, who gave a lot to charity, who are some of the best people ever. And everything in between. Well, my friends, think for yourselves. Don't let the lower head outthink the upper head. And I'll see you guys next time. Please feel free to leave your comments and your thoughts below. I'm out. Peace.